B-Pod Studios.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Drive home with Felger and Mazz this afternoon at 2. Right now, this is how Boston sports fans start the day. Toucher and Rich on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Kyle Draper covers the Celtics for NBC Sports Boston. He joins us on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline, as he is an expert. Mr. Draper, hello.
What's up, fellas? Good morning. How you doing today?
Oh, I got a little case of Hayward fever. And there's only one thing to cure it, and that's information. Now, Ainge doesn't want to talk to us. He doesn't want to talk to anybody in the media, I guess, unless he's talked to you. And now there's talk of pulling in a third team for, I don't know. What are you hearing about this whole thing?
No, I mean, you got to figure the Celtics are trying to do everything they can to get something in return for Gordon Hayward, right? I mean, I think the worst case scenario is just to let this guy walk to Charlotte and get nothing in return. And it does make sense. You know, if you're Charlotte, I know you don't have to do a sign and trade, but if the Celtics sweeten the pot somehow with a future draft pick, you know, why wouldn't you do it? And so, you know, at this hour, this is Danny Ainge trying to get something back, you know, a piece, you know, whether it's a draft pick or a player, just something back in return.
Can you clarify something for me, Kyle? Because I read the thing that I think it was Chris Forsberg wrote on your website last night explaining all this, because I'm an idiot when it comes to this trade player exemption stuff that's out there. So the Celtics, in order to be able to use that $30 million on someone, they don't actually have to trade anyone. They can just give picks to Charlotte, and then that will open up the money for their use. Is that correct?
Yeah, because Charlotte can absorb Gordon Hayward into their cap space. I believe they have the cap space to just go outright and sign Gordon Hayward, you know, because they're stretching Nicholas Batum. So if you take Batum's money off their books, then that means they have enough money to sign Gordon Hayward outright. And then if you're the Celtics, you say, wow, we're going to lose him for nothing. Well, why don't we, get some draft picks or send something back in return? It's weird. You know, the NBA CBA is probably the most convoluted thing there is in all of sports. And that's why these deals are so hard to make, right? That's why, you know, you have this initial report, Gordon Hayward signing with the Hornets. And then it's like, not so fast. Danny Ainge wants to get something back. And so because Charlotte can absorb him into the cap space, basically the Celtics would get that cap space, that exception back. It's sort of like, you know, almost like a supplemental draft pick in the NFL. You know, if a team signs a player of the Patriots, you know, get a compensatory draft pick in return. Sure. Kind of, it's sort of like that.
So why wouldn't Charlotte do that if they're getting something for nothing, you know, because they're going to be spending that money anyway? And why haven't they done that already?
Exactly, and then that's the million-dollar question, right? It makes sense to Charlotte. I mean, I guess the only thought is, you know, if you do that, then that sort of, you know, puts Boston in a better position to go out there and add more talent, and do you want to do that? But when you're a team like Charlotte, you know, who really isn't going anywhere, I think you got to get as many assets as possible, as, you know, whether it's draft picks or whatever. And so, you know, I eventually do see something getting done in terms of a sign and trade, because it just makes sense for both teams.
Okay, so they've got some money left, and you know, you're taking a look around the league and who they'd be able to get or what they need. You know, there's a couple names I've seen thrown out there. Evan Turner is a great one that I saw, you know, because not only is his voice fantastic, but I love the guy. but that's the kind of money that you have left, is for somebody like him. I've seen Kyle Korver's name out there before, who I know obviously can't do anything on defense, but I mean, God knows if you need shooting, and this team definitely needed shooting in the playoffs, he's not a bad name. What are you hearing as far as any other moves that might be around the corner for this team?
You know, I'm not hearing much, to be honest with you, because, you know, when you looked at, you know, they signed Jeff Teague, they signed Tristan Thompson, so they used their full mid-level. And to me, you know, when you use your full mid-level, that means you're staying under the tax. And so I think they have like $2.3 million, something like that. And those names you mentioned would help them. But I don't think they're, you know, desperate to get something done right now. I think, you know, the priority for them is figuring out this Gordon Hayward situation, because then if you do have that exception, you know, $30 million trade exception or whatever it'll be, you want to keep that roster spot open too, to make, you know, sign somebody or make a trade at some point in the season. So I don't think at this point it's a priority to go out there and get somebody else. Let's not forget, they just drafted a couple of young kids, and I firmly believe they think these guys are going to help them this season. And so, you know, why sign an Evan Turner, or why sign a Kyle Korver? You know, Kyle Korver especially can help you because of the shooting. Evan Turner, you know, is sort of a replacement for Gordon Hayward, but you got these young guys also. And so I think, you know, they're going to lean heavily on the young guys coming off the bench this season.
To that end, Kyle, does this make the Celtics a better team than they were 2 weeks ago? I mean, you take Hayward and Cantor and Wanamaker out of the equation, you draft the two kids, you bring in Tristan Thompson and Jeff Teague. I'm not necessarily sure they're any better than they were at the end of last season.
Yeah, but, you know, I think their roster is better. But the problem is everybody else got better, too. Like, Milwaukee's better. Miami still is a better team than them. Brooklyn is better. And so I don't think it moves the needle that much or moves you that closer to a championship, just because the East, you know, at the top has gotten better. But let's be honest. If Kemba Walker's not 100%, guys, you needed somebody to come in and play 25, 30 minutes. And Jeff Teague is that guy. No offense to our guy Wanamaker, who did a great job.
Uh-oh, those are fighting words, Draper. You know that. You know those are fighting words. Rich certainly has been quiet the entire time. Oh. This is a way to piss him off. You really want to do that?
I'm in mourning.
Dude, Brad Wanamaker should be in the Celtics Hall of Fame, right? I mean, undrafted guy. And, no, but, you know, the
kept
thing
weight
is,
on, even though he was playing a professional sport.
It's impressive. It takes talent really to do was. That.
That's muscle, not weight.
No.
Okay. Yeah, I love Brad, but, you know, the drop-off won't be as great now when Kemba comes out of the game, or if Kemba's hurt or something like that. You got Jeff Teague, a former All-Star, who's a savvy veteran. And so I think the drop-off won't be as noticeable like it was this past year.
Are you hearing anything about, because, I mean, it's apparent, the money that Gordon Hayward ended up getting wasn't out there originally. I think we all seem to know that. If so, then I don't know if they would have, I mean, he would have probably signed with Charlotte immediately, but I think that they probably
swooped in,
whatever that verb is, during the whole negotiation between the Celtics and the Pacers. But before that, it just seemed like the number one thing is that he wanted to go away. Is there any reason that you believe, other than he was just the fourth guy to get the ball on the Celtics, that he wanted out of Boston?
No, I haven't heard anything. I think it makes sense, though. You know, let's be honest, guys. We've watched Gordon Hayward over the last 3 years, and I can't remember, you know, count the number of times I've seen him actually happy, smiling. You know, he just always seemed to be that fourth guy. You know, it was always Tatum. It was always Jaylen Brown, Kemba, and, oh, yeah, Gordon Hayward. And so I think, you know, let's not forget, he is a professional athlete. He is a former All-Star. He is the former face of a franchise in the Utah Jazz. And to come out here and just be a role player that basically stands in the corner or occasionally makes plays, I think, you know, there was some thought to, you know, can I get back to that All-Star level role? And so I think Charlotte, you know, for him personally, is the perfect fit, because he could go there, beat a man, get 20 shots a game, you know, score 20 plus points, probably not win much, but he'll be the man down there. And so it's a good move for him, obviously basketball and financially. But I can't imagine, I just don't feel like he Foley was happy here, you know, and that's not any inside source or anything. I'm just doing the eye test, you know. It just seemed Gordon Hayward, I think his closest player on the team was Jason Tatum, you know, and so I don't know if, you know, he fully, you know, felt comfortable in Boston, which is a shame, too, because there was so much fanfare when he came in.
It's funny, yeah, because when my kids play basketball, I like to put them on teams with their friends. So it's good that you can continue that through your career, that he was upset that he didn't have a better buddy on the team.
I'm not saying that, Fred. That's exactly what you just said. No, he misses Kyrie, right? You know, him
that's
and Kyrie
right.
were supposed to be the ones who you know, he's just sad about that.
When he's sitting back in LaMelo Ball is shooting from half court and his father's in the stands making SportsCenter, he'll be very happy.
Hey,
but this time he's going
to
get paid.
All he has to do is pull out his phone and look at the bank account.
I was just going to say, he gets paid $30 million to stand in a corner now.
No, God bless him. I mean, seriously, I take the money too. I do that as well. He won.
We broke it down yesterday, or somebody did, but I saw the stat that apparently Gordon Hayward, by the time this contract is done, will have made more career earnings than Tim Duncan and Dirk Nowitzki.
Yeah. Wow.
That's right.
NBA is fantastic, boys. I better get my son off the iPad and computer right now. Tell him to go shoot some jumpers right about now.
Tell him to play tennis like Gordon Hayward. apparently, that's the recipe for success. All right, Kyle Draper, NBC Sports Boston. Always a pleasure, sir. Thank you.
All right, fellas. Thanks for having me.
All right, take it easy. All right, when we come back, we have Rich's new discovery, a chef who's already told us how to make chili cheese nachos using a can of chili, a jar of cheese, and a bag of chips.
Mm.
He will teach us how to make rice on the way.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Top. This is the home of the Bruins, the Celtics, and these guys. Toucher and Rich on Boston's home for sports. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
At 5 to Sports Hub, we're Toucher and Rich, and I go to complex.com, maybe read a little something about sneakers, maybe something about life, and I see that John Cleese and a dude from Queer Eye for the Straight Guy are having at it over the issue of transgender rights, and I say to myself, what am I doing?
Yeah, that's
why am I looking at this? What is going on? Why is this something I'm exposed to? Why do we exist on this social platform? It really is nauseating what people fill their days with. But nonetheless, and I am superior, for I do not do it. So that makes me superior. All right, Rich, but one thing that we can all focus on is the great holiday of Thanksgiving. Everyone loves Thanksgiving. Let's all vilify the people that are flying. We can all get behind that. And when we're not doing that, there is a time where we have to cook. And many of us, Rich, I, for one, have never made Thanksgiving dinner. The coronavirus, we're not going to Philadelphia this year, thank God. My parents aren't coming up here because my dad's got the shingles, and that's a whole situation with the, who knows, with COVID.
Oh, so how's he doing, man?
That sucks.
No. Shingles is the worst.
Well, we figured that if his, this is my thinking, is that his body was is busy fighting the shingles, that if he got corona, that would be bad because then he would have to fight two things.
Oh, you so also figured, don't want to be around him
no.
while he has shingles.
No. Well, he's like 4 weeks into it. But
it lasts like 2.5 months.
Yeah, it can. It's not pleasant. I get to see him in a couple weeks, so we'll see. But nonetheless, We're home is my point. And listen, there is a man that you found rich because you are cooking as well.
Yep.
And this man is here to help.
He is. And
he literally shows you that anyone can cook.
So
there was a video I saw last night that was a gorilla at a zoo that a woman had a shopping bag, and the gorilla pointed to the shopping bag, then pointed to a hole in the fence mm-hmm. for her to pour the water into the gorilla's mouth. This gentleman is operating on the same plane of existence as this gorilla.
This is great because I'm trying.
I'm convinced this gorilla could make these recipes.
I need to know the origin story of how this show came about, because it's just a dude standing next to. There's no irony. This is a public access
show. It's library
show.
People.
Maybe, but it's someone who's just like, I want to do a show to teach people how to cook. But what the cooking is, the extent of it is the clip that we played earlier, where it was, I'm going to make chili cheese nachos. And yes. In front of him is a can of Hormel chili, one of those glass like jars of Tostitos cheese.
Yeah, and he put the mixture in the microwave for an ungodly 4.5 minutes, which is insanity because it would just blow up.
And he's wearing like this like blue or purple button-up shirt. And you said it best. It looks like the cheapest thing that they buy for you at the morgue they bury you.
It looks like distant relatives had to handle the burial. And he was like, not dead yet, and just got up and walked out.
So it's, as I said, it's like divorced dad cooking show.
Yeah.
It's like the saddest food. It's all for like one.
Yeah.
So here is this gentleman. His name is Stephen Reed. And Mr. Stephen Reed, and it's got, of course, the greatest, like, you know, 1990s-esque public access backdrop, you know, like a fake sunset and like a panel and like this like a horrible cheap wood that's behind him. And so here he is. He's already broken down how to do the chili cheese nachos using just chili cheese and nachos. And now he's going to teach us how to make a box of Rice-A-Roni.
All right. You know, it's San Francisco's treat.
Hello, Wildcats. This is Weber Cooks, and today we're making...
Wouldn't it be funny if he was heir to the Weber fortune? Like, if he was, like, he was getting all the grill money? And he was, like, this eccentric billionaire? This was his passion, his cooking?
This is very Mark Davis-esque.
Yes.
I can see them being friends.
Hello, Wildcats. This is Weber Cooks, and today we're making a rice dish that is really easy to make. And there's different flavors that you can get. This one here, you just dump the rice into the thing.
Don't get technical. Explain it to me like I'm a layman. Just dump it into the thing.
The IMDb page for this thing is amazing.
Just somewhere there's a guy just pouring the rice down his pants.
I know.
Pour it in where? A microwave?
Somebody just tweeted, the secret ingredient is sadness.
Yeah, the secret ingredient is tears. Now, this guy's long past crying. This guy's every mental function is required for him to get up here and do this.
So I was like, give this man a cup of hugs.
Yeah, yeah. He could use
it. Who did this to you, Stephen? Who hurt you?
I'm going to tell you, this guy's arm's falling off before anything happens, in the boudoir.
Oh, man.
I mean, that is a that noodle's as limp as the rice that's about to be cooked.
This one here, you just dump the rice into the thing. Butter, and put it in the dish. Huh? We'll put it in the microwave.
What? He's already lost me because I can't see him.
So
his description is of no use. His audio description is, I don't know, where's the butter go?
he put butter on top of this sad thing of rice he just poured out from the box. And he has like a plastic fork, and he sticks the he leaves the plastic fork in the dish and puts it in the microwave.
Well, that's no good. That's no good at all. That could poison a fella.
The dish, we'll put it in the microwave for 1 minute.
Now he shows restraint. Before it was 4.5 minutes. Is that bothering anyone else?
Well, I mean,
just the carnage that would be in that microwave of 4.5 minutes of cheese and chili being cooked uncovered.
He put potatoes in there and like microwaved like actual full potatoes and then reached in and grabbed them with his bare hand. The man has no feelings. He's dead inside.
They've rigged that microwave so the only thing that works is the clock. There's no way that thing's cooking anything. This is 1 minute. Okay.
And while that's cooking, we'll just get the package ready to open. And that's done cooking. And then we'll just stir it up a bit and we'll put it in the microwave again. This time we'll set it for 20 minutes.
Wow! What was the point of the 1 minute?
Whoa!
It went 20 times the second time around. He puts it in for 1 minute and then for 20 minutes. My Lord, this guy's an operator.
What's great, too, is that he probably just stands and looks into the abyss for those 20 minutes.
Or just puts it right in his balls. Just those microwaves cooking his insides alive. 20 minutes. Good Lord.
This time, we'll set it for 20 minutes, and that will
be the show.
Make it come out great. And now that it's cooked for 20 minutes, you have this hot dish that you can eat. And I'm Stephen Reed, and this was Weber Cooks.
Yeah! Voila! And just like that, it's done.
Somebody genius took him making the nachos and put sad music underneath it.
Hello, Wildcats. This is Weber Cooks. And today we're doing chili cheese nachos. We start with a can of chili and open it up. And then the cheese sauce, we just take off the lid and we pop these both in the microwave and we set the microwave for 4.5 minutes. And when that's done, we'll put them in a bowl.
When that's done, put it in a bowl.
Somebody said, I have neither divorce nor a dad, but this guy knows exactly what I eat on a daily basis.
Yeah. Yeah, he's Napoleon Dynamite.
So he said he sharpened his stabbing knife in those 20 minutes.
No, he's no murderer.
No, no, no.
He's the living dead.
So it said it's Milton from Office Space meets Dahmer.
It is Milton from Office Space. Yeah, I don't see him being a big go-getter, but he is on TV, which is more than I can say for myself. All right, we'll be back with
tomatoes.
Oh, whoa!
Where did he?
You came out of nowhere. I smell a new guest.
Thank you for having me.
And with all due respect, you're something of a cheese whiz.
I miss Matt Schaefer. Where is he?
I don't know. But he's probably making some.
Or miss.
Yeah.
Matt Schaefer's just wandering. He's a High Plains drifter now.
Let's talk about cheese.
Okay.
Wherever there's a tomato that needs a pick-in, Matt Schaefer will be there.
Tomatoes.
Yeah.
Matt Schaefer, well, he's a hero to the tomatoes.
Right now, we're in the peak of New England's harvest season.
He's dressed as a scarecrow standing. Damn crows! Away!
Get these two together.
This one here, you just dump the rice into the thing.
Tomatoes.
That's a show I would watch.
Matt Schaefer's just in the background nodding his head just saying tomatoes.
Hummus.
Hummus.
Let's talk about cheese.
I mean, that was on the airwaves. Oh, boy, do we miss it. That was on at 5.
Hi, thank you for having me.
And with all due respect, you're something of a cheese whiz.
All right, what's coming up in the stack besides tomatoes? I'm
sure. This one here, you just dump the rice into the thing.
You do, absolutely.
No help to anyone. That's
No, it is not. All right, what is the most binged shows right now on television? On top of that, you've got Mike Tyson. His fight's coming up. I keep forgetting that he's going to. Is that a pay-per-view thing?
I guess we'll find out. No idea.
Yeah, he loses his mind on TV, and we'll also get to a little bit more from the whole Tom Brady debacle last night.
All right, we will have that all for you in just a moment. Here are the headlines.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
You get to free sale, no down payments, no payments, and 0% financing for 12 full months. Check them out online at windownation.com.
All right, so where are we at with the pursuit of Rich? All right, so he needs 1 minute. Rich has the stories for the stack.
We lost him, or what happened?
He is on Zoom. He is not on his traditional call-in.
I see. Okay.
He is on Zoom.
And by the way, I wasn't kidding. That Weber Cooks thing does actually have an IMDb page.
Good.
It's
about time someone made it. The man needs his SAG card.
The man, I felt sorry for. Apparently, the entire reason he did that cooking show was to teach kids at Weber State University how to cook things.
Well, that shows
while they're on campus.
Shows how gifted the Weber State student body is. That yes. They would need someone to explain that to him.
Yeah.
All right, Rich. What do we have?
All right. By the way, there was something about the game last night that I had noticed, and I don't even know if they called it out on television, but is this a new thing where Tom Brady just doesn't shake the hands of the quarterback that he loses to? Because that happened last night, and Jared Goff very awkwardly went looking for Tom Brady to try to shake his hand.
If I'm not mistaken, he never shakes Goff's hand. If I'm not mistaken, that's a thing.
I mean, but how often has he played Jared Goff?
He played him in the Super Bowl two years ago.
I mean, other than that, like, is this?
Thinking of Nick Foles. He won't shake Nick Foles.
Yeah, Foles is different.
But those are the two losses. I mean, there was one other one, and I forget who else they lost to. But I mean, you know, he shakes everyone else's hand. And a matter of fact, you've seen the videos of him going up to Drew Brees and shaking all their hands. It's not a COVID thing because he shakes the hands of the teams of the quarterbacks that he beats.
In all seriousness, not joking. Do you think Tom Brady believes he can get COVID?
Yes, I do.
There's no way he thinks he can get COVID.
Brady is a man on his own island, man. He believes a lot of different things.
There's nothing that he has done that makes me think that he doesn't believe that he's just this perfect specimen
yes.
that can't get infected.
Yeah, I don't know, John. You're going both ways with it, so I don't even know what you're saying, so I'm going to leave you out of this. There's no way that he thinks he can get COVID. He believes he's impervious to it. There's no question about it.
Fred, since the beginning of all of this, he's been putting on his Instagram all these messages. Like, the first one was just like, more people, you know, it's like, perspective, man. This isn't a big deal. And then he put out that immune thing, the TB12, like, ads for that. Hey, with everything that's going on, it's more important than ever to have your immuno booster. And then there were the pictures of him out practicing and, you know, that where they weren't supposed to be practicing with
team. Yeah, so
everything he's done has kind of been like a big, you know, whipping it out.
Well, he believes, he believes that you can take something to, you know, preordain that you will not get concussions. So, I mean, if he believes that, he certainly doesn't think he's going to get COVID, or if he did, that it would have any effect on him.
Yeah.
So, I mean, but so if you're, yeah, don't tell me he's not shaking anyone's hand because of COVID. Don't tell me he's not doing anything because of COVID.
Is that a new thing, though? I mean, because I don't remember very many times where even after he lost, he didn't shake someone's hand. I'm sure everyone's going to come up with like 15, but this is like two bad losses. He just didn't even shake the guy's hand. The Foles one, I still butthurt. I understand that. But Jared Goff, what are you doing, man? What are you doing not shaking Jared Goff's hand? Yeah, he beat him in the Super Bowl. No matter, even if you continue to lose in a regular season the rest of your life, you beat the dude in the Super Bowl. You still got the upper hand. Shake the dude's hand.
Well,
just very strange.
He's a fallen star. I mean, what am I going to tell my kids? They look up to him so much.
I know. What are they going to do now?
Well, I based my whole life around him.
Here's one of those things where if the Cowboys hadn't won this past weekend, people would be going, all right, dude, that's pretty embarrassing. So this Tom Pelissero from the NFL Network told a story about how Mike McCarthy did something fairly interesting the night before their game that they played. And here's how everything, just imagine being one of these players while this is going down. Here's how everything went down.
We might look back on this win over the Vikings as the sledgehammer game. Saturday night at the team hotel in a meeting in a ballroom, Mike McCarthy gets up at the front of the room and says, guys, I want to apologize. I don't think I did a good enough job emphasizing our objectives for the week, one of which was to hammer the ball out of Dalvin Cook's hands. At that point, McCarthy pulls out a sledgehammer, not a prop, a full sledgehammer that you can knock a wall down with, and someone rolls in a bunch of watermelons. Each one has a different objective written on it. McCarthy reads the objective, bam, smashes the watermelon. He goes down the row doing this. The players are roaring. McCarthy's pants are soaked. Finally gets to the watermelon with Dalvin Cook's picture on it. DeMarcus Lawrence jumps up and goes, I got to get that one. He hands over the sledgehammer to Lawrence. He smashes that watermelon. Look what it translates to in the game yesterday. They played inspired. They played physical.
All right, some Gallagher action then.
Good. I would like it if the stupid coach was sitting there smashing watermelons. Why not? It's better than sitting in some dumb meeting.
Mm.
You got him smashing watermelons, I'm laughing. I'm like the people in the front row at the Gallagher show that come in the rain slickers because they don't want to get their good going out clothes dirty.
Well,
they don't
want to
get the watermelon innards all over them.
Mm-hmm. As the show Jeopardy tries to replace a legend, they are bringing in different people to kind of try it out for a week here and a week there to see who they like the best. First up is going to be Ken Jennings.
Huge nerd.
Doing a week of the show. I have a feeling he is not going to be as good as people hope he's going to be. I've got money on, literally, I have money on George Stephanopoulos. That was something we could have bet on the other day. That's all the whispers that he's going to be the guy. There is talk of LeVar Burton, an inspired one that was out there is what about Will Ferrell actually hosting Jeopardy?
Yeah,
not
sure
a bad idea.
Be first thing he wants to do.
Dude, I think Ken Jennings, Alex Trebek, I think got paid pretty well. That's
Will Ferrell making movies. Will Ferrell's fine. He doesn't need a Jeopardy gig.
Is he making a lot of money making movies right now?
I don't know. You don't go from being a movie star to hosting Jeopardy. You're a guy like George Stephanopoulos that does this as a side gig for when you're doing Good Morning America. It's a great gig. It's a nice gig. It's not very difficult. No heavy lifting. You get paid a lot of money, but you're not a movie star. So please.
Speaking of Will Ferrell and movie stars, Ranker has the funniest movies starring SNL cast members ranked.
Sweet.
All right, so these are ones starring SNL cast members. It's not like It's Pat or like an SNL movie like Wayne's World. This just has to star an alumni from SNL.
Fever Pitch.
How'd they find enough of them?
So by the way, number 23 on the list should have been number one, and that is Step Brothers. That's one of my all-time favorite movies. That's just my opinion of things.
Anchorman is my favorite favorite comedy of all time. It's obviously not going to be number one. It's probably
Anchorman
not even on the list.
Is high up, though. Anchorman, where did that land on this list? I believe that is, oh, yeah, number 12. The Anchorman is at number 12.
Right. Talladega Nights?
Talladega Nights is at number 20.
Out of all...
Ahead, that's ahead
out of all of these, others. Out of all the massive stars that came to Saturday Live and did movies, Talladega Nights made the top 25. Congratulations,
top 20. Actually, I will I'll give you 20 through 11, just so you know what we're working with here, to kind of give you a sense of what these votes
Bridesmaids
are.
Is good because it got girls in it is going to be in the top five.
Bridesmaids is number eight. It's number eight. It was
all
very
right.
Fun.
You'll have Animal House. Well, is that a starring role for John Belushi? Does that
number
count?
14? Animal House,
of course, because there's 13 movies better than it.
Blues Brothers. We were talking about that earlier.
Blues Brothers, that is on the list, and it is fairly high up. That's number seven.
They're going to have Stripes on there.
Yep. Not in the top 20.
They don't have Caddyshack on there?
Caddyshack is number four on the list.
Uh-huh. Now we're talking. Now we are cooking with gas. Do they have 48 Hours? Do they have Trading Places? Do they have Beverly Hills Cop?
Is number nine. Beverly Hills Cop is number five.
Do they have the not funny at all movie Coming to America that people insist upon?
Yeah. I don't see Coming to America.
Do they have Happy Gilmore? Are they that kind of people that would say
Happy Gilmore's number 13.
Uh-huh. All right, Caddyshack.
I said Caddyshack already. Way to listen.
Sorry. That is indeed on the list.
Something I just said, you stupid idiot.
All right, I'll give you 20 through 11 just to kind of give you an idea. Uh-huh. Number 20 was Talladega Nights. Number 19 was Shrek because it was voiced by Mike Myers.
Yes, and
Eddie Murphy, that's right. Number 18, What About Bob? Very funny movie. Number 17, Elf. Number 16, The Jerk.
Okay, stop. Elf sucks. And I love Christmas movies. And Elf sucks. I actually like The Santa Claus. I actually enjoy the movie The Santa Claus. And Elf sucks.
Elf got better. I like Elf. I like Elf. I think Elf's pretty good.
Zolak's going to come thundering in here.
Anchorman is my favorite comedy of all time. But when Will Ferrell does the cheerleaders or Elf, it's ball-hiding, cringy, douchey, chill-down-my-spine crap.
You sit on a throne of lies.
Yeah. He's a silly goose.
It's a kid's movie. It's made for kids.
I'm aware of that, and I don't like it. I love Christmas Vacation. I love...
That's one of the best.
I love... Oh, Vacation's got to be one of the top movies.
Vacation is number 11, the original Vacation. Even though Christmas Vacation is by far... the best of all the vacations.
Well, Christmas Vacation is a tradition in my house.
Me too. It's the best Christmas movie ever made.
I agree.
Number 16 was The Jerk. Number 15, The Wedding Singer. 14, Animal House. 13, Happy Gilmore. I don't agree with that either. Number 12, Anchorman. Number 11, Vacation. Number 10, Austin Powers.
I love Austin Powers.
Great movie. Number 9, Trading Places. Number 8, Bridesmaids. 7, The Blues Brothers. Number 6, and I loved it when it came out, Wayne's World.
That's actually a very good movie.
Number 5, Beverly Hills Cop. Number 4, Caddyshack. And you have not gotten any of the top 3, according to this. Best movies done by an SNL cast member. Funniest movies by an SNL cast member. Right. One was a mega hit, and one is
Ghostbusters.
Good. Ghostbusters is number 2.
Attaboy.
All right. Neighbors, 1941.
Yes, Neighbors is number 1 on this list. Frank.
I'm trying, I'm going back too far. I'm obviously too hip for the room. Let's see. Is Martin Short's not going to have any? Billy Crystal's not going to have any? Eddie Murphy, I've listed his big ones.
Number 3 is brilliant. Number 3 is great. Tommy Boy at number 3.
Okay,
that's a bold move when you're talking about.
I love that one.
All right, just go ahead with this. I can't think. Go ahead.
And number 1, Groundhog Day.
No.
Oh.
I love Groundhog Day, too, but it's not the funniest.
Groundhog Day's a good movie that's on cable. Like, if I went to the theater, I'd be like, whatever. It's like TV. Groundhog Day is like watching again. It's like watching, like, 3 episodes of Everybody Loves Raymond. It exists. It's not offensive. It broke up him and Ramis, though. They never talked until Harold Ramis was on his deathbed.
I'll go Step Brothers, Tommy Boy, Christmas Vacation as being the top 3, in my opinion.
Yeah, I go Anchorman... then I'd have to think about it. But I'm solid with my Anchorman choice. That'll do it for us. Everyone enjoy every butt you come across. Bye.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.